Shutdown Foolcast. You are listening to the internet's only college football podcast being recorded, but for once, right here in one room. I am Spencer Hall, joined as always by Jason Kirk. Jason, how
we
doing?
We have currently the effect of sounds such as Spencer's Welcome and the, what is this musical instrument?
It's a bass recorder.
Of course it is. We're hearing these from multiple microphones at once, I believe, is what the listener's getting at home. So, depending on the production, techniques,
Cerber deploys.
I think what we're going for here is three-dimensional sound.
Yeah.
It's behind you.
And four-dimensional chess.
I thought that, like, we could all come to one place, record an episode with Ryan in another place, and it would just go fine.
Yeah.
And it has, frankly. I think we're doing great.
Yeah. We were scheduled to begin recording at exactly 6:36. That is the time. Everything is going perfect.
It's definitely not an hour and 6 minutes after we were scheduled to record.
There have been no changes to our plan.
A phone call between two different people for an hour and 6 minutes.
Mm-hmm. Ryan is here, see?
Yeah.
Ryan is with Ryan Floyd in the Amen Corner.
Yeah, they're really spiritual contributors to the podcast today, even if you don't hear their voices. Holly Anderson on bass recorder.
Thank you.
As always.
I guess.
You learned a song?
Well, Spencer, as I said about 5 minutes ago, we were going to save this for the South Carolina portion of this, our SEC preview.
Okay.
But since you brought it up, we have a very special listener, a longtime listener, whose information I was not prepared to pull up because, again, we were going to do this like 10 minutes from now.
Sure.
We'll fix it in post.
What's the point of saying things aloud, I guess is my question. So, Sir Big Spur Esquire, longtime listener, charity bowl donor, all-around shutdown full human, had liver transplant surgery over the weekend, came out of it fine, but as far as we know, went into it being what I hope, for everyone's medical sake, is the first human being in recorded history to request the shutdown full cast be played in the operating room. We attempted to learn South Carolina's fight song on the bass recorder in his honor over the last 7 or 8 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
I couldn't do that. And then Spencer told me that South Carolina's real fight song is the chicken dance. So we're going to do our best here. Hang on a second. Nope. That's not it either. There we go.
Yeah.
All right.
Happy recovery, Sir Big Spur. Happy new chunk of liver. Hope you get better. This is our SEC preview, and welcome to it.
SEC preview, of course, we are all about synergy. We also have Michael Cerber in this room because, yes, this week was SEC Media Days, done live from the College Football Hall of Fame and at the adjacent hotel, the Omni. It is, I will tell you, a quieter experience if you've been down there than Birmingham was. You do not have the experience of watching an SEC coach eat sad Sparrow pizza, which is one
thing. That's probably what Dan Mullins.
The Sparrow isn't there anymore.
What?
Yeah. It was not there last year. I ate at the Sarku, and they have like a Philly steak place.
Where's Dan Mullins supposed to eat? Oh, he's fired.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He gone.
You know what? Global warming is real, because the Sparrow should have survived, but extreme temperatures drove it out of its native habitat. So now I'm terrified.
You know, the problem with Hoover and with the Winfrey and the Galleria is that it's too easy to get to. And the advantage with having it in Atlanta is the normal people who would normally be clogging up the arteries and byways of Media Days are kind of squinting at the map and going, I'm not driving up there.
Where are we going to park?
We live here. And we were like, I'm not driving down there.
I hope that half of them got distracted and just decided to go to the aquarium. Like, damn, they got sea lions!
Tennessee aquarium's better.
I think the good part of it in Hoover is, like, you can say, oh, I'm very bored. I'm going to go walk around the mall. Mm-hmm. And around here, you know, that's not really an option. You're going to be walking outside. It's very hot, and you're wearing your
blank office buildings.
You're wearing your CBS Sports polo shirt, or your 247 polo shirt, or your Bleacher Report polo shirt. You're going to get it all sweaty.
Shouts out to the 247 polo shirt. Bud Elliott made it look like designer. Like, he really did. He looked great.
Bud's put in some off-season work. He looks cut.
Yeah, no, lean, mean, ready for the season. Like, nobody is like conditioning. Fit everything. He's ready. Starting 11. Easy. Additionally, one thing from this week that I think is of import is this, that we learned that Nick Saban sucks. And by that, I mean this.
What?
Uh-huh. I did it. Nick Saban asked if no one knew anything about Saban, what would he want them to know? How well I clean house. I get a list every day. I try to play golf in the morning. When I get back, I get a list. Vacuum. Pledge the refrigerator. Nobody knows how well I do those things.
Oh, it was vacuum, comma, pledge, comma, the refrigerator, right? He's not cleaning the refrigerator with wood cleaner, because that alarmed me.
There is no comma here. That may be a transcription error, but Nick Saban may just be putting pledge on the fridge.
He could also be vacuuming the fridge.
He could be, you know what?
Anything that stays in the fridge wants it enough to stay.
Some people put vacuum sealed things in the fridge. Some people vacuum seal the fridge.
I do the whole thing to maintain freshness. That's what you do if you're part of the process. I
vacuum seal the kitchen.
Vacuum seal the kitchen.
It's like a whole spaceship when you go in there.
Nick Saban just putting himself in vacuum seal, like, this will keep me young.
This is why I'm immortal.
Yeah, that's it. I'm never retiring.
Sealing in all my moisture.
Air makes you weak.
That's right. Listen, if I put myself in, I will oxidize. Oxidation, that's rust.
This is absolutely what his version of Tiger's training with the Navy SEALs would be like.
Mm-hmm. It would just be attempts at immortality.
I'm gonna hold my. You only have a finite amount of heartbeats in a lifetime, so I'm going to hold my breath for up to 3 minutes at a time.
I bet he does that anyway. Mm-hmm. Just for fun. It's just like, yeah, I'm going to do this until the secretary leaves because I don't want to talk to another human. Because I'm Nick Saban.
I think fun is an unlikely reason, but he probably does do this.
Does he have opinions on vacuum cleaner brands? Is he like, Dyson's a fraud?
Oh, he's 1,000% a Miele man.
Yeah?
Or, okay, two things. Yes, he thinks Dyson's a fraud because if he abandoned running the ball on the ground, mm-hmm. everybody else should be able to.
That's true.
Two, especially with Mercedes. And Mercedes' current influence in Alabama, I have to think that he would appreciate the German precision engineering of Miele. But it's either that or he's the type of guy who's like, if you can't get the job done with a $13 Shark upright stick vacuum, then you're not putting enough effort into it.
Maybe that's how he teaches fundamentals. I could see him doing this. You need talent to win, so I need to go ahead and recruit the best talent I've got. Mm-hmm. Only the best for my closet. He's probably a Miele guy. I'm guessing.
That or he just vacuums until the vacuum is full and he throws it away and buys a new one. Because anything else is time wasted.
That's a very college sports approach to it. The darn thing's out of eligibility.
It's gray shirted.
Every bit, yeah. He's got a bunch of stuff in the garage. He's like, yeah, that vacuum cleaner, that's mine, but I'm not going to use it till next year. It goes out here for a year to season.
Yeah, Todd Grantham is on his staff and his entire job is just taking shit back to Target.
You did not tell a single lie in that entire thing. Does he have receipts for anything? No.
No.
Not a damn thing. Walk in there and they're like, oh, here comes Todd.
I think he just puts it back.
Yes. Return.
He doesn't take it to customer service.
On the shelf.
He walks it in, he puts it on the shelf. The right shelf? No. A shelf.
Target manager calls district supervisor, sir, it happened again.
The Tuscaloosa Target. They're, the kids stock in the shelves and whatever, they just discover the vacuum cleaner is among the sundresses again.
Mm-hmm. And then he runs out through the same register lane every single time. He's like, what are you doing? Rush the A gap. That's what I'm doing. Every time.
Gets emotional.
Yeah, then he gets very emotional when security stops it.
Yeah.
What do you mean returns counter? God damn it. That's what we've learned this week. That's literally all we've learned this week. Nobody said anything interesting. Nobody's done anything interesting. We've managed to go ahead and have a completely seamless and unfascinating experience.
Fine. We don't need to know any more about you people.
It's true.
By you people, I mean the coaches.
Yeah.
You're not interesting.
Yeah. I did enjoy one little other thing, and of course this is Nick Saban because he's the only person anyone talks about, which is Nick Saban saying, hey, all these people say I'm retiring. Why don't we ever ask where they heard I'm retiring? Huh? Which I enjoy because it's Nick reminding everybody that he will never die. Ever. Mm-hmm. Why don't you ask where they heard that? They tell all these recruits I'm retiring. Why don't they ask what their source is? It's Nick Saban literally being like, source?
So he's asking 17-year-olds to do journalism?
Yeah.
It's ambitious, coach.
Citation needed.
Somebody should just come back like Senator Armstrong and be like, I made it the fuck up.
Mo Brooks.
Yeah, but that's it. Where'd you hear that, my friend Nunya? That's right.
The skull of Ann Richards.
That's it. Talks to me. And
Nick probably has that, come to think of it. I bet they'd get along real well.
No, because Nick throws out everything in his house every 4 years. Mm. He can't imagine anything lasting longer than 4 years. Just TV, 4 years out. Car, 4 years out. Sends it right back to Nick Saban Mercedes. A sentence you could really say. Because there really are two locations, I should say, of Nick Saban Mercedes. So yeah, that's SEC Media Day so far.
I have one more question about him.
Sure.
How long do you think he had to weigh the, what I have to think is a roaring stream of income that comes from having multiple car dealerships against the fact that at least once a year, he's going to have to show up there and smile at something. Like, how long do you think he did that calculus before deciding whether or not to take on owning a car dealership?
He's probably got an algorithm for it, right? Like, for exactly how much time it's worth, how much dollar for how much emotion Nick Saban has to spend, and how much it will take away from recruiting.
Mm-hmm. I assume he justifies the smile with, this is good for recruiting. Mm-hmm. Because it further associates his name with Mercedes's. 17-year-olds like the idea of owning Mercedes's, so that's worth a smile a year.
I could see him also doing this, which is if he plays golf, which I know he does, right? Like he said it, he's got one guy he plays golf with who has nothing to do with the football program. He's just a dude in Tuscaloosa.
Isn't that the guy you told that the title game cost him a week of recruiting in that one Warren St. John story?
Yes, and we've never heard from that guy again, so I assume he's either disappeared.
They stored him in the vault with Robbie Zell.
They vacuum sealed him for freshness, and they put him in Nick's garage, and he comes out once a season to go play golf with Nick. I bet he's like a 9 holes guy. He's not playing 18. He's like 9, that's it. Done.
So 4.5.
Still be on clean feet.
Hmm?
I'm still on clean feet. Am I supposed to still be on clean feet?
No.
Okay. I just realized that.
Fuck it though, right?
Sorry, keep going.
Yeah. Okay. Having said that, by the way, somebody will be served with a subpoena tomorrow. Somebody will get into a fight or a tiff tomorrow.
Man, I almost want to just... Is it illegal to impersonate a process server?
No, I don't think so.
Because I almost want to just do this to him every year.
Do you just want to stand there with a giant cartoon
tube? It's just got glitter in the envelope. That's it.
Which is a cartoon tube that says subpoena and see which coach starts sweating.
Kiffin.
It's Kiffin every time?
Yeah, you see, you think Kiffin.
Kiffin has been served so many that it doesn't faze him?
He's also always sweating.
Yeah.
he's always in a bad way.
We're back to sous vide. He looks... His skin looks tight.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He looks like he's been out in the sun for a couple days.
Mm. Alright, you say that though. You say his skin looks tight. Are you implying plastic surgery? Because
no.
That's happened with coaches this offseason, that they've gotten plastic surgery. What everyone knows is plastic surgery and denied it.
Who are you talking about?
I am talking about Minnesota head football coach PJ Fleck.
Okay. Well, let's look this up.
Completely different eyes.
Oh.
And then said he got hit in the eye with a...
It was a pretty good story. It was a pretty good story at the time because it was so fucking weird that you thought, well, that has to be true.
Yeah, but both of his eyes look fresher and younger.
Live in such a way that you can plausibly sell a bungee cord disaster story.
Yeah.
That's the real lesson here.
Or that by having a positive attitude, you simply look younger one day. That's what mm-hmm.
I willed myself into free plastic surgery.
Yeah. Fleck is a Shiano man, and I'm kind of fascinated with what tenet of Shiano teachings he took and extrapolated to determine that this was necessary.
Let's see. Chopping wood. Let's see. Rowing boats.
Hopefully not the hygiene part. You don't want that mixed in with surgery, I don't think.
No, but you know what? Keeping a program in order is a lot like, you know, nipping and tucking. You're just nipping and tucking, right? Once you think you got everything right, no, you can always work. You can always, like, refine things. You can always nip and tuck a little bit.
Is there a level on which we should just be grateful that a Power 5 head coach in the year 2022 got a professional medical procedure done and didn't try to do it on himself? Like, I did my own research, and I'm really getting into DIY eye surgery.
Who would do DIY? All of them. Oh, God, there are so
many.
All
of them. If they could do it at a red light in the morning on the way to work.
Yeah.
I just drop in some colloidal silver and go watch film.
Right? Like, should we be glad that he sought a medical professional for anything?
My Gundy would have done that for sure. The colloidal silver treatment.
Oh, yeah. Mm. That man is absolutely blue underneath all the orange.
That's why he keeps agitating for the Florida job.
He's already got the colors. Oh my God, you're right. It's like I could coach Boise, Auburn, or Florida. That's it.
That's the only places they want me.
Yeah, I'm already pre-matching.
You know, he really slots in well to all three of those personality-wise.
Yeah, you just rearranged the sliders just a little bit.
Are there any other specific collar combos that have such like a? I mean, these are different discrete fan bases, but there's like a septagonal peg octagonal hole at worst situation, right?
Depending on the color scheme, you can match up Baylor and Notre Dame.
Which some similarities, yes. You've got that. You've also got red. I'm just going to go ahead and say
too much red.
That's all of them.
Yeah, but you know, there's specific like scarlet.
They brand the red.
Yeah,
but like. Yeah.
Purple and yellow is a pretty thin hole. You're like, well.
Okay, yeah. So it's LSU and some D2 school.
I enjoyed that LSU was self-conscious early on enough in their development to go, ain't nobody else going with this shit.
There's only one place crazy enough to pull this off.
Yeah, although even they shied away from doing full Mardi Gras, like purple, yellow, and green. They're like, oh, that's too much. That's too much. They were like, that's a little bit too far. I think that Gundy's probably a leading candidate for self-surgery. Another guy I think would probably be deep into the self-surgery gambit if he could be, just based on, I don't know, lifestyle choices and where he's from. If we could go ahead and say Jimbo, because Jimbo, first of all, for a while there, Jimbo was doing some hard
Jimbo could hardly do worse. Like, he needs better help choosing professionals.
Jimbo, I think, you know, if he wanted to give himself an eye lift, he'd probably just put some duct tape on the corner of his eye and pull it back, right? Mm-hmm. Just wake up and be like, look, fresher. Yeah. Just eyes popping. Hey!
I feel so young. I think Jimbo, the canon version of Jimbo, is the rich guy who is also a penny pincher. So
yeah.
So hell no, I'm not spending $50,000 for a new face.
People think I got a $50 million plastic surgery fund. That ain't true. People want to say all these things. That ain't true.
It is not against the law to duct tape your eyelids to your forehead.
It is not.
Nick Saban needs to stop saying it's against the law.
Nick's like,
I didn't say that. He basically did.
Todd Grantham said it. Now Nick has to pay for it. Todd Grantham's at Target throwing the wrong thing on the shelves going, you know what? Jimbo got illegal eye surgeries.
Todd never makes it out of the Target without getting into a fight at the popcorn line.
Never, ever hire anyone named Todd ever again. Ever.
Kirk Ferentz has definitely done his own surgery, right?
He is the richest man in Iowa, so I don't know.
His face is weirdly smooth.
He's got kind of one of those faces that, like, was craggy when he was 30. So, like, I don't know if that's natural settling or if he has gotten a little tweak at the eyes. It's entirely possible.
I don't think Mike Leach would do it on himself, but he's definitely done a lot of surgeries on unwitting other people.
Allegedly.
Allegedly. Pioneers all died at 35, and people act like that's a bad thing.
Longevity is a curse. We need to recognize that. Yeah. He's definitely a guy who's like, yeah, I really don't want to hear Mike Leach talk about too many things anymore. I would go ahead and listen to a solid 5 minutes on tree panning. I would go ahead and listen to it because I bet he's like, I'm intrigued.
Phineas Gage had some good ideas.
Yeah.
I can't even do his voice anymore. It's been so long.
I think Holgo is probably a good candidate. Not for... not for beauty reasons, but for
well, there's the heat. So I got some heat on this face.
You know, like it's like a car. Cancer, he's just gonna flip the shaving mirror down and kind of shave it off.
Well, I think you know the cops are looking for a certain face, so he's gonna pull through the spray paint and emerge with a different face.
It's like the first time he played GTA.
Exactly.
That's how it works.
Yeah.
Wow, I gotta try this.
Was one of those things real?
With my face.
He's in Houston. He's like, you can get drive through anything here. Trust me. I know. just, he's like, watch, I'm gonna go to this. This is crazy. Put a goat in my back seat. Look, they put a goat in my back seat. Instant goat. Houston's amazing. I would like...
How dare you to make this transition?
No, speaking of goats, Nick Saban.
Oh,
damn it.
There we go.
Walker Hayes.
No, we're not doing that.
I'm so excited.
We're prohibited from discussing this song due to Jason's pending copyright infringement on his classic anthem, Gene Truck Shorts Cutie.
I want...
He added the word life. That was very clever.
I want to tell you all about my new single coming out this fall.
This is
shot a video for it.
Is it the song of the season?
I'm very excited. It is going to be the song of Saturdays. I think that's what
is it doing. Like? Is it like, does it really tell the world what it's like being Southern?
It does. I don't think enough people talk about those things. So, and I don't think they're, what I really wanted to be inclusive. So, y'all like,
at what point in this do you have to contractually mention progressive?
So,
I think that's actually why the video got taken down, is somebody objected to the word progressive. I don't think it had anything to do with the song or the response to it.
Woke liberal Walker Hayes. Is that the guy's name? Walker Hayes.
Because, when you think of me, you think of a phrase like, where it's all football and Jesus. Because that describes me to a T. Football.
It doesn't say what Jesus is doing.
It's true.
Jesus might have you by the scruff at the moment.
My mama's sweet tea's the sweetest.
Now, how would you know that?
God damn it.
This is a hate crime.
Oh, man, you should see Holly right now. She's so unhappy and upset. Yeah, so I'll check it out on Spotify.
You're not reading all the lyrics?
No, I'm not going to read all the lyrics because there's a lot of them. This is far too many words.
Oh, God.
Far too many words.
Yeah, how long did it take to get bullied off of Twitter? It was under an hour.
It was under an hour. It was 6:16.
I was late to it, and it had been up for like 45 minutes and was gone maybe 10 minutes later.
I think they would have been fine if they had expressed zero enthusiasm for it and just dropped it and said our partnership with Progressive, because everybody's eyes would have glazed over and they would have said that's an ad.
SEC, next time you...
the Pantheon of the Apathies song.
Yeah.
I don't... Ooh.
But they expressed enthusiasm, which is always a dangerous thing for an institutional account to do in any way. And then pointed to this thing, which is obviously a standard country song in the vein that it was created with an algorithm somewhere in Nashville that mentioned at least 23 to 25 core terms.
No, we've done this before, but we are going back to the AI country song generator.
That's right.
Folks, when you hear these titles, be sure to tag the SEC account and let them know that the real song of the summer is being constructed now.
And I did a great job on this song. Because, positive reviews, that helps. I defend on all you out there, my fans.
Spencer's country music fans.
All of my country music fans.
think the favorite one we came up with last time was "You Don't Love Me Like You Love That Boat."
Yeah, which I think that's a real song.
Y'all,
y'all,
this truck ain't gonna y'all itself.
Damn, damn.
All right, here we go.
You better write that song before this episode drops.
Yeah.
All right, here we go. Life is a game we both always lose, even on the football team. I move for love in a football. I make love in the water. Behind the hidden cameras, we wore football shirts.
Hell yeah.
Behind the hidden cameras, we wore football shirts. Chorus. You like Southern California and football and racing cars, girl. You like Southern California and football. This is the fate of a people risen.
Whoa! Easy there,
AI.
Verse 2. When I was a young man chasing girls, playing football in the streets, well, I do remember those days to settle down or go to school.
That's the two paths before
Bridge.
You.
Bridge. Your diamond talk make your mental go numb. I seen your idol playing football so high. Chorus. You like Southern and football and racing cars, girl. You like Southern and football. This is the fate of a people risen.
Boy, easy, easy.
Fucking ominous.
Deeply uncomfortable with that people rising line. Parts of it sounds like Big Ten expansion.
You can select a lyrics mood, and I selected happy.
Also, sounds like white supremacy.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Well, so did Walker song, or at least it looked like it.
My biggest issue with the Walker Hayes song, it's unsound football, because I know there are multiple schools on this, but in it, as an example of pure Southernness, he suggests that, Lord, please, we want the ball at the half. That's so not aggressive. I know people want that, and they want to win the last half of the second half. For me, you go out there, go up 1-0, right?
That just tells me you have control issues.
Yeah. It tells me you run first.
Personally, the low point for me was seeing the double R Forest on all the jerseys.
Huh. Wonder what that's about.
The video was shot in Nashville, so I see no way this could have come about inorganically.
Also, I've never seen a Baptist choir move like that in my life.
No. Oh, just terrible fucking wigs.
Yeah, I mean, I'm cool with bad wigs. Like, shitty wigs, I'm like, they can be alright. Shitty wigs can be a cool lifestyle.
It made me feel homophobic just watching it. Like, I feel like I'm slightly more homophobic than I was. And I'm not homophobic at all, but now I feel like I am a little bit, because I'm like, where are your gay friends? What did you do to make them abandon you?
You shot a video in Nashville.
Yeah.
How far out of Nashville? 30 miles. Nope, can't make it. Sorry. Y'all are on your own.
All right, hang on. There's an option to change the lyrics to very happy.
Oh, no. Wow. That's going to... Oh, no.
Hang on.
If this makes it sound even more racist, the AI is...
Does this ramp up the fascism?
Okay, here we go.
Yeah.
All right.
Very happy.
This is what I get from you. Football team, strong life, yeah. No more football, no more fashion. In my life, everything has changed. A football field may. Chorus.
Uh-oh.
I love you when we play football. I love you when we play football. I love you when we play football. I love you when we play football.
All right.
Pretty good.
Verse 2. Yeah. Damn, we rewrote
this? We like dancing and drinking and having fun. We like being in those crazy school bars. He could have just done this.
Yeah.
Pre-chorus, he got roller coaster, he got toe jam football, he fly wing, he one of a kind. Chorus, I love you when we play football, I love you when we play football, I love you when we play football, I love you when we play football. Bridge, tell me Brad Paisley did not have a hand in this butt. This is more than black, white, center field. This is your era of football. Chorus, I love you when we play football, I love you when we play football. I love you when we play football. I love you when we play football.
Wow.
That's a banger.
Song of the season.
I mean, like, I don't think you have to tweak much.
I heard it's the song of the season.
Just go.
Keep copying pesos, send them my way.
Yeah. Perfect.
I got an arrangement in mind.
Yeah.
Just, what's the very sad option? Oh, no. Okay, I'm just gonna do one.
I'm gonna guess this one is about since the love only happens during football, this is gonna be once football ends.
Yeah.
Boy, I never was too good at football. I never was meant to play it down. Her lips on my lips, names I heard from her. I can throw a football better.
Keep telling yourself that, buddy.
Chorus, we got football, they got football. No, he was never good at football. He was never good at cooking. He just wound up being a liar. This is a football town.
Oh, man.
That's a Taylor Swift song.
Wait, what football player is really known for being good at cooking? Because this is sounding personal.
Is it Michael Strahan? Doesn't he do the grilling things?
Yeah.
On the show? On the morning show?
He did get that record.
Damn Michael Strahan.
Yeah.
Because that football content as mine, verse 2, because they coach bound by some rule as well, cause them on and on and them on and them on. If we could talk about it, would you have sympathy? When he would tell me he would, he fall for his football team. Subject-verb agreement is not this bot's strong suit.
The closer this bot
bridge, sounds, so like sorry, karaoke, sorry, bridge, better. Final chorus. Well, now you might get drunk, you might get in a fight. No, he was never good at football, he was never good at cooking. He just wound up being a liar. This is a football town.
God damn.
Shit.
Get your heart out, Jason Isbell. Damn.
I feel like Matt Saracen wrote that.
Yeah.
Oh, shit, he never deserved it.
Julie! He was never good at cooking.
I'm sorry.
That's the meanest part.
I'm sorry, I did one more and I'm just going to look at the title. And the title is, You Talk About Football While Sat in My Car. It's about Jason in seasons 5 through 7 of the Shutdown Podcast.
That has happened.
Well,
now that we have written the song of the season for the SEC.
Yeah, pick it up, y'all. It's
you're
free.
Welcome.
It's right there.
We're just thinking out loud here.
Yeah. Mondays at 7 p.m.
7:30.
It's 7.
Are you sure?
Positive.
I hope
positive.
So.
Guess we'll find out, folks.
Mondays at 7 p.m. on the SEC Network, myself and Richard Johnson, who may be walking through the door any minute now. We're just sitting in the house, and we told Richard to come by, so Richard may just saunter in here, and we could have the entire cast of Thinking Out Loud here as well. Maybe he'll bring Roman Harper? I don't know. It could be cool.
I'm sorry. Do you know the original announcement of Thinking Out Loud was, and I'm looking at the website here, 666 days ago?
It's time. I'm accidentally
doing... Thank you, inexplicably WordPress-based ESPN website.
I guess I accidentally stumbled into a podcast business, but yes, that is coming back. We'll be doing that in the fall. Additional podcast business. We have a very exciting newsletter coming up on Channel 6. I'm doing the every SEC game previewed for 2022. You should... Go ahead and subscribe. The link is in my link tree in my bio at Twitter, at EDSBS on Twitter. It's like 4,700 words or something at this point. So yeah, go ahead. $10 a month, 2 things a week, including this opus, which will land directly in your inbox. Holly and I run it. It's a tremendous amount of fun. Jason, you got any podcast business to attend to?
I'm reading through the list of FBS coordinators right now and couldn't help but note Scott Schaefer still in the league.
Really?
MTSU defensive coordinator. And he's been there for 5 years now.
Yeah, fuck you, Dabo.
Somehow. he's just across, not quite state lines, but nearer and nearer. Yeah, my wife and I still run a Vacation Bible School podcast. We have done a bunch of Patreon episodes as of late. Relating to some things in the news, some of them. We took the Did You Grow Up in a Cult test. Yeah. Discovering that I did, because I was raised Southern Baptist. It was that was a fun episode. It was like there's like 50 or 60 different items, like you know, if you check off a lot of these boxes, you probably need to evaluate your upbringing. And it was like
if I take this test from the perspective of a Texas A&M fan.
Yeah, you'd hit about half of them. Yeah,
yeah.
No, this rep's gonna come in and bark, and then you get an A.
Yes, and she's infallible. That's right. Not a cult. I just go to this place and talk with my friends in a special code once a week.
Once a week at midnight. That's a bad sign. Yeah. We have to wear the same clothes and say the same things.
Mm-hmm.
And we're not really allowed to, we're allowed to leave, kinda.
Once a year, we light a huge fire.
If anyone says any bad thing about the local rich person, we have to defend him on the internet.
That is right. That is right. Not a cult, though. Not a cult.
Not a cult.
I am encouraged to give, but I do so freely.
So we've done a bunch of episodes on stuff like that, in addition to main episodes where we're going through the Bible as it's sort of a pop culture rewatchable type version, sort of a junkyard seminary version of learning what's in there.
I love
Yeah, one of the funniest things I have seen someone say about this podcast is someone said, it is so nice to see Jason sincerely express his faith. And I was like, oh, okay, you haven't listened. I appreciate the nice things you're trying to say, but you haven't listened to the show, if that's your takeaway. And that's okay. Now's the time to start.
Yes.
I thought of you, and I meant to text you, but I was driving when I was back at home. Like, typically the vacation Bible school themes of,
yeah,
like, they're like safari, like beach, like something like that. This is one I saw. I'm curious if you've ever seen it, because you are an expert on this. It's called The Greatest Show Under the Big Top.
Okay.
It's a circus
themed. Themed.
Uh-huh. That's a new one to me. Growing up in the South, you see them all.
Sure.
Yeah.
I'm sure that's probably been attempted many times. These things, they're like sold as kits. Like, you can buy a VBS themed kit for your church or whatever. Yeah. So, like, yeah.
Ours was all stained glass one year. I don't remember why.
That seems redundant.
It also seems weirdly Catholic, now that I'm thinking about it. This was free will back to summer school.
Yeah. You'll see, like, cowboy themed, or, like, and that's, there'll be racist elements to that. Or you'll see, like, Pacific Island themed, and there'll be racist elements.
Oh, no. What's the one they don't do? Space? Because then they have to face some really hard truths.
I saw a space. Face truths, brother. Come on.
Yeah, good point.
When you say face truths,
are those then the most harmful?
Yeah.
There's like ATMs.
The flip side of facing truth is just upping the difficulty.
Yes.
There's an entire creation themed VBS recently. VBS, the things that happen in church, not my podcast. And it's like, are they not indoctrinated enough to creationism to drill it in for an entire week?
I want one that was
anybody's
like,
here to finish the drill.
I want to go back in the archives and find a Surge sponsored VBS, right? Surge Cola.
I've probably been to a few of those.
Yeah. One that was like, you know what's great? The taste of Surge. But you know what's even better? The love of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ.
So you remember when I told y'all Surge came to our school?
Yes.
Directly across the street from our high school was a church that, not too long after this happened, splintered because they thought the SBC was not conservative enough. Mm-hmm. And that's that church out on the interstate now that has the cops blocking the road, so that always has the cops blocking traffic on Sunday.
Yeah. Yeah.
That you hate. I mean, you can hate them for other reasons, but
I hate any church that does that. I'll just go ahead and say that. Yeah. If you want to go ahead and
I know
call
this
me,
is your
like,
personal bet noir.
Yeah, if you want to call me like being seriously anti-religious, my anti-religion extends first and foremost and most powerfully to quit stopping traffic so you can get out of church.
I would say
that's what a right turn is for.
I would say that church is too big.
Yeah,
I'd say it has too many cars. You're not supposed to have cars. Jesus said, "Sell your car and give the money away."
That's right.
So,
more carpool to church if you're into togetherness.
Jesus would say, "You just sell all your shit and walk."
Yeah.
So
just do that. Just walk.
Right? Also, you're involved with cops. Jesus said, "Liberate the oppressed." He didn't say work with cops.
Yeah, because you know what I'm trying to do? I'm trying to get to Sonic.
I'm trying to get to Sonic before you people get to Sonic.
Right? You have your church, I have mine. I'm going to go get a cherry limeade, and you're keeping me from doing that. If you want to know the angriest I've been as an adult, it's when I really had to take a shit, and I got stopped by a cop on Franklin Road. Okay, stopped by the cop, going down Franklin Road in between Franklin and Brentwood, heading to the Sonic to go poop and get a cherry limeade in that order because I'm not a savage.
Where are you going to poop at Sonic?
They have one in the back.
One what?
That's just a trash can.
Is there like a separate...
I've never in my life seen a Sonic.
Is there a separate car you poop in?
Yeah, they do. You have to press the red button, and they're like, "Here's the key."
There's the Isuzu.
They hand you a bucket to put in your car.
Yeah.
The poop tea cruiser.
And the moral of this story, pooper. Find a cop and shit in their mouth.
Yeah, hell yeah. That's exactly the moral of the story.
Anyway, that would have been the Surge Church because it's directly across the street from our school.
Surge Church.
I wonder what they think.
Yeah, they would pause traffic and keep me from getting the things that I want and performing the valuable tests that I urgently need to perform. And that's the angriest I've been as an adult. The angriest at that point, because I was like, all of my bete noir all in one thing. Something keeping me from easy convenience, the cops, and a church. It was a drill tweet come to life.
He's a literal bete noir. Hello, cool cat.
Yeah.
Nothing. I was just thinking about how the news lately has given Jason a lot of material to work with. Yeah. Not in a great way, but also made me very grateful that we have VBS to... I don't want to say shepherd because I don't want to put that burden on you, but as a subscriber who just renewed my personal subscription to VBS, I have been especially glad to have it around lately.
Yeah, the news keeps happening. And the news has been about the same for thousands of years. So these things that were written down a long time ago, it's easy for people to use them to make the world worse. But also you can use them to argue that we shouldn't make the world worse.
A novel thought. I believe that concludes podcast business. Because this is our SEC preview, we 45 naturally...
45 minutes later, we enter the topic of today's show.
More than 2 hours and 15 minutes later.
There was a valuable period of setup and learning. We can now actually begin with the scientific research conducted by Ryan Annie, who was imprisoned for doing this research.
Yeah.
He's currently behind bars.
He's currently in Nick Saban's refrigerator.
Yeah. Vacuum sealed for freshness and raw.
Man, think about his pores when he gets out.
He's already a beautiful man. He's just going to look like a handsome doll.
So smooth.
When we pull him out of it. Yeah, so smooth. Yeah.
Anyway, Ryan asked us and then asked you, the listeners, to rank from 14th to 1th, SEC fan bases, teams, I believe we're just kind of mashing them all together into one entity, right?
Yeah.
In terms of irrationality. And some of these results surprised me. But I think they surprised me with, Jesus Christ, I have nothing to end that sentence with. How do y'all want to get into this?
Fire away!
Should we start at, as judged by the public, the least irrational school in the SEC?
Yes, and then let's see, you did you do the survey, Spencer?
I've made my guesses.
Did you do the survey, or do you want to participate in on the fly?
Yeah, I'll do it more on the fly.
Okay. Boys, going around the table, who would you tag as the most logical or 14th most illogical college football team in the Southeastern Conference?
I definitely think the double negative is the fair way to put it.
Yeah.
Least illogical. Yeah. I mean, I think anyone's list of results that didn't have Vanderbilt last, I would suspect foul play.
Yeah, they don't even have an athletic department, so I feel like that is hard to deny. That was my answer for 14 as well, Spencer.
That is also my answer.
So the listeners agreed overwhelmingly, and I'm gonna try and describe. We'll tweet this this graph out with the results as we go, because the survey was collected blind, and there is a bigger. If you're looking at this graph as a whole, there is a cluster of three schools at the very top at the irrationality end, and there is one school with a big drop off at the very bottom. And with an average of 1.88, we have Vanderbilt at the bottom. I really want to know how Vanderbilt almost got to 2, but I think school number 13 might answer that question.
Mm-hmm.
We do, despite our best efforts, still have some Vandy fans in the bunch. Perhaps they were ranking themselves a little bit higher, but let's serpentine this. Spencer, who'd you have for 13?
For 13? Oh! It's the door.
Folks, we are joined midstream, mid-show, by one SEC pundit, one Richard Johnson of little-known NFL concerned Split Zone Duo. You can buy their shirts at splitzoneduoshirts.com.
I was unaware. I was unaware of the bit for a couple reasons. One, I'm a couple full casts behind, and I fucked off to the Redwoods for a week.
Oh, that's right. And you really didn't answer your phone when you were gone.
Alex texted me about something tangentially sports related, and I texted him back. When I'm on vacation, do not contact me.
Respect.
And so I did not know about the splitzoneduoshirt.com thing. Somebody tweeted at us about it today, literally today, because it's relaunch week at Split Zone
Duo.
Also,
we threatened people on the show not to snitch, and almost everybody listened.
It's splitzoneduo.com, or we put out new shirts with our friends at Homefield, and then somebody was like, you could really get a good shirt at splitzoneduoshirt.com. And I clicked on it, and then I was like, okay, now I get it.
Yeah.
But we
somehow
are
now this wasn't Brian Floyd.
If you click on that, you will see a cool shirt.
It's a good shirt.
A cool shirt.
It represents, I think, the values of Split Zone Duo beautifully. Also, it has a silhouette guide. It's helpful.
So we have Vanderbilt has our most rational.
Which we've already said.
Least irrational. Let's put it that way.
Okay, least irrational. All
right. So these next two schools, there are two schools in a little cluster up the graph. There is Vandy down here, and then there's a jump. And there's two schools that are almost even plateau, so let's take them together. Spencer, who did you have as the 13th and 12th most rational SEC institution?
Well, let's see if I'm an outlier. I had Missouri and Mississippi State in that order.
I also had Missouri and Mississippi State.
Wow. Okay.
Mississippi State depends on the Egg Bowl result.
Yeah?
If Mississippi State is relatively rational, then we are in truly insane waters.
this is also, we kind of are. I think there's families of this, but I could go off there. We were all a good bit off from public opinion because two schools, these two schools are almost as far apart from Vanderbilt as they are from schools 11 and 10. We have Mizzou and Kentucky
coming in
700ths of a point above Mizzou for the 12th most rational team in the SEC. I had Kentucky at 11.
Also, this is serving as the SEC preview, I'm assuming.
Yeah.
Yes. Some sort of SEC preview. Okay.
I think we're
currently looking at Mississippi State's schedule, and shit gets irrational, not even on opening weekend.
I will say this. I think my analogy for Mississippi State is this. I have them so low in terms of irrationality relative to their peers because they are a werewolf. Once a month during the season, they start biting people and getting irrational. Okay?
I have them so low because someone has hidden Mike Leach's phone or created an entire other internet for him to tweet into for the past 3 years.
Well, right, but like, about it is true. He's got a wooden phone or a Fisher-Price phone, and he just keeps typing sort of...
I also reserve the right to revise this ranking if they're little... Man, who sat out at Mississippi State and said, let's make our stadium more like South Carolina's?
Mm-hmm.
Whoever. I reserve my right to revise this ranking upwards.
Yeah, they have
Depending on how the action goes in these balconies.
They have these like aluminum tiered balconies on either
Richard,
side of the upper deck.
It is Duval-ish.
I've never been.
Duval-ish.
I'm waiting for the well, there's your problem disaster episode.
Oh, no, they're brand new. Have you guys seen? Hang on.
Yeah, no. They do not look sound. They do not. They're made out of the kind of aluminum that you make a high school bleacher out of.
It looks like they grafted part of South Carolina's... part of South Carolina's stadium onto Mississippi State Stadium.
South Carolina is the most, you can tell they built it. They built one side 30 years before the other.
Mm-hmm.
Here you go, take a look.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
It sounds like you're looking at something infected.
Coming from the school that you used to fucking park at the back of your pickup truck into left field.
Gloriously so.
I think this is the sort of bougie version of that. But South Carolina's Williams-Brice is the stadium that you can most tell, like, you built that 30 years apart. Like, you built one side, didn't have another plan, and then built the other one and tried to make it look
similar. William Bryce is the stadium that I most look at and think, European soccer disaster.
Willie right? B gets crush fucking hyped, though, man. Oh, I will always
that
give it to those people.
That moves.
I didn't like, say it didn't.
It sways.
Yes.
Yeah. Have you ever walked up those fucking things?
Yeah.
Yep.
Good God almighty.
They bounce.
Yeah.
Yeah, because it's not sound.
I do like the... I very much like the like geological age style of statue architecture. It's like, oh, that's from the 60s. That's from the 80s. You'd be able to that's do that really new.
Neyland, before Neyland was redone, you could
back
actually.
In the concrete bleachers.
Yeah, Neyland, you used to be able to see the sedimentary history, right? You're like, the strata here was 1905. This is General
Neyland. This is where we buried Randy Sanders' hole.
Yeah, this is the Randy Sanders like hole that you know Cutcliffe used to put him in when he was back. Yeah, like you could see that. They kind of redid it now, just looks like a glorious
the Johnny Majors Memorial Run.
It looks like a bass boat. It looks like a really nice white like lake boat, right? Yeah, that's what it looks like now. Yeah. Which is to me, I have to admit, kind of cool because that's very on brand. They're like, make it look like a boat, like a big shiny lake boat.
I think it's kind of funny that we all skipped Missy State and just and Mizzou.
Mm-hmm.
That we all skipped Kentucky and Mizzou, which were the two actual next answers, and went directly to Mississippi State.
Well, Mizzou 12th through 13th makes a lot of sense. Like, yeah. The number of times I've been yelled at online by a Mizzou fan is, it's not big. Mississippi
what did they yell at us about?
Journalism
school. It would usually be,
remember us? We're here! We're in the SEC, remember?
Yeah, it's
saying we're not in the SEC.
I feel like the only things I've heard is sort of a, yeah, well, we've won the division twice since we've been there. Why don't you know, like, that sort of a thing.
Big accomplishment for a big team.
Mississippi State being pretty low makes sense because they really only care about one game a year, if we're being honest.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Kentucky should be very, very low. Kentucky at 13th, there's a case for it just because
I have Kentucky at all that it's a compliment.
We all know they care.
Before, this is the best job, and being a Kentucky football fan is kind of awesome right now.
Also, if you have a I am waiting for us to die gene built in, like if you experience stress as a football fan and you go, oh, here we go again, you're going to be a little more rational because you have an outlet and process for the emotional devastation that a defeat is about to inflict on you. It's still going to hurt, but you have, like, honestly, like, this is the mechanism that some people think depression works on, that, like, you got beat in a fight, you had to go crawl in a hole for 3 months until you got better in, like, ancient combat, and that's one of the things that, like, the mechanism of depression may explain. Every Mississippi State fan, when they have a lead, is like, like beating Auburn 43-34 last year and coming back from 28-3, which no football team has ever done before in the history of the sport, that game is the perfect Mississippi State experience because chances for a title already blown, 28-3 lead. We were losing. We're generally used to that because remember, as a program, they have like a 470 winning percentage historically. They are a losing program historically. They're accustomed to that, and then they get the serotonin boost of, but we don't suck right now. They get like a half, and they finish on that. So like, I think mentally, they're probably healthier. Also, Kentucky is like divested, right? Like they are, they're diversified, right? Like they're you know, we suck at this. This won't be good at
they
that.
Don't, though.
They're
the best of both worlds right now.
Overall, they suck, but
sometimes they forget.
But my argument is kind of in the same vein of Mark Stoops having the best job in the country argument, which is that Kentucky is fun to watch right now, and their emotional livelihoods don't depend on the outcome of these games.
And to be very clear for anyone just now tuning in, we're talking specifically about football programs. If we're talking about athletic department fans as a whole, Kentucky Wildcats, you're moving way up the irrationality
or
rankings.
Even Vanderbilt, like if we had Vandy, let's talk Vandy baseball.
Let's talk about
baseball. Yeah,
whistling guys.
If we're talking baseball and bowling, then Vandy is top five.
I think Vandy lost to a lot of our baseball teams this year, didn't they? That's interesting.
Yeah, that is interesting. Particularly Tennessee. They lose to Tennessee a couple times.
Baseball school.
Yeah, that's amazing.
Oh, hey, you were talking about depression and losing fights, and South Carolina comes in at number 10, which is where I had them on my list.
I had them at 10 as well. I don't know how do we all land on 10?
Is that where they finished in the public?
They are in there is a little four-team cluster, and the next two, apart from, so again, from 14 to 1, we're going Vanderbilt, Missouri, Kentucky, in increasing order of irrationality. There's a four-team cluster here the first two teams of which are Mississippi State and South Carolina. The second two teams are real weird, so I'm going to hang on to those in a second.
Okay. Okay. I can see South Carolina because, again, historically not a good football program. No, like, sort of experience of championships. If they end up not just in the penthouse, but if they get bumped up to business class for a year, they're like, woohoo! It's good! It's nice!
There was a streak of years in there where the beat Clemson five times in a row. Yes, we know. Hang a banner. You did that. Yeah. And we will continue hearing about that time.
It's a championship game. What happened to you? We faced the greatest college football player of all time.
There was a period in there where South Carolina might have nudged up into the top half, but I think
game of Dark Souls. Who are you facing at the end?
Yeah, South Carolina fans, I don't know the last time I saw a South Carolina fan chirp at me online.
Because even if you're like, y'all are going to blow this, they're like, hell yeah, we will, brother. Be good, yeah.
I
was down there in April, and they've even cooled off on the baseball rationality.
Damn.
I was asking somebody, I was like, what's the deal with Carolina baseball? It's a guy who does media there, and he's like, yeah, people don't care anymore because they're not good.
Oh, man.
People have really, and this is to Don's credit, really piled their energy into the women's basketball program.
Okay.
Front running fan base, South Carolina Gamecocks.
Internally front running, yes. Which is fascinating. Yeah.
We're going to go where the wings are, baby.
They're just constantly reallocating shit.
But with football, like, the most loyal ride or die, 0-12, 11-2, it doesn't matter, Williams Bryce is going to be packed.
Yeah.
They talk, and like, it does not matter. They talk shit. Like, they lost to Clemson by like 40 3 years in a row, and still the next year, like, we're gonna fuck y'all up.
Okay,
you got it coming.
I think they mean in the parking lot, and that makes me love them.
That's true.
Yeah.
In the fairgrounds.
Yeah. So this next little bit is where it gets super fucking weird, and I asked Brian in a segment of audio we don't have because it was. We were trying to get the internet to work. I asked Ryan before the show what the school was that had the widest divergence of answers, like the school that had the greatest number of answers anywhere along the spectrum, because I was pretty sure I knew, and I was right. And I think there's a strong case to be made for this team at either end of the spectrum. So I'm really curious to hear everybody's thoughts. Number 9 on this list clocks in right above South Carolina, like 2/10 of a point above South Carolina. The Crimson Tide.
Okay, I can see that. I don't have them too far off from
this. It's the sameness of the results of their program year in and year out. I had them at 8, mm-hmm. but then the public has put them at 9. And I think there's a strong case for putting them number 1, and I think there's a strong case for putting them down at the bottom, because what are their results year to year if not predictable, right?
So I think here we have a program where their ingrained irrationality so affected the world, they bent reality to their irrationality. And now, if they expect the team to lose no more than one game a year, that is completely rational.
Yeah, they're now the baseline.
What is insane for anyone else is not insane for them. Mm-hmm. And yeah, it is rational for them to expect to go 11-1 every single year. Yeah. And if they don't, something, a cataclysm has happened.
But that in itself is objectively irrational.
I'm really glad that you said that, Jason, because that leads us into the only plausible explanation for the next school, the last school in this cluster. There's 4 teams who averaged between 6.5 and 7 in the point system from 1 to 14 points. And the next team on this list, the team that averaged out at 7, I have to think it's because of some other they have warped reality to their will kind of reason, because I had Arkansas at my number 1, and here they are at 8.
I have them at 4 of all places. So I maintain
that this may be an old person thing at this point, and we may or may not have some more content for y'all coming later on down the pike on the whys and wherefores of this, but Arkansas is continually underestimated in terms of just pure batshit.
I think it's 2 things. It's like you're saying, it's some of our listeners and some of Ryan's social media followers who participated in this study might be a bit young. And the other thing that goes hand in hand there is recency bias, because the team was good last year. Therefore, the fans must be happy. Is that what you think? Is that what you think? Stay tuned.
They ran a coach off via FOIA request before social media was even a thing.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Y'all don't know.
Their most successful coach since
y'all Frank don't Boyles. Remember yeah. what these people are like.
Yeah, they're waiting.
I will say this right here. This is the one fan base I won't fight with on the internet. I will not.
They're the only fan base that's ever made me really think about turning my car on.
Uh-huh.
That would right, like uh-huh. just without looking
at. Made you hesitate.
Made me hesitate, yeah. Because, mm-hmm. like, Georgia fans are typical Georgia fans. They're the same people who throughout history are like, I'm going to shoot you.
Yeah,
like,
but they're also like, oh, the pastor saw that, and they think that's a threat.
I've deleted Arkansas that Facebook fans, comment, and I'm sorry. I'll say it again.
Where Georgia's fans are making snide comments and tagging your pastor on your Facebook page, Arkansas fans, after the same argument, will be clinging to the underside of your car with hooks for hands.
I think Arkansas right, yeah. fans are tagging in their pastor.
Yeah.
Yeah. Again, this is a compliment. The pastor's like, again, let me tell you what God thinks of you.
Like, I fear Arkansas like the spider fears the snake.
I'll just say, anyone who voted Arkansas as a rational fan base, just give it some time.
Give it some time.
Yeah. Just wait. Maybe 1 year. It's maybe 2 years.
It's all lovely it's like right
the
now.
Weather. Just wait a minute. You don't like the weather? Just wait a minute.
Like, I love Sam Pittman, but when I saw that he built the statue of a hog, I thought what a magnificent use of resources. And I was like, two, you're gonna have to sell that house someday.
That might actually be the most recent Arkansas fracas we've had online. Because do you remember when we called that other Arkansas statue goofy looking, the one with the wildly rolling like neon blue eye?
Yeah.
And I was like, wait, why are you trying to this much? I love Florida. Drop in.
You're telling me these people with their various neon hog gods this is the even keeled bunch?
The thing here is, I think that there is there's a coupled relationship between Arkansas's seemingly increasing rationality and the Cowboys' seemingly increasing rationality.
Oh.
As the old man gets older.
Yeah.
It seems to be more rational as the kids sort of take more control, right? Steven basically runs Cowboys.
Oh, that's a good point.
But you still get some bumps of irrationality. What the fucking Cowboys coach name right now?
Yeah.
Mike McCarthy.
Yeah.
Mike McCarthy is the Cowboys coach right now.
Every time I remember that, it gets funnier.
Like, it still pops. Like, yeah. There's still pops there. Don't sleep on
them.
Yes. He still got it.
Yeah,
he still got it.
I'll also say, because there's a lot of Walmart money that courses through that program too, buy low for production above paid out expenses and getting value above that. Sam Pittman's cheap, right? Is it Musselman? They're a basketball coach, yeah. right? Like, doing a great job. Like, that's what they want to do, is buy low, right? Get somebody who wants to do the job, get a little bit more out of them, and keep it pretty quiet.
Yeah, I mean, they're paying. Sam Pittman's new deal is, dude, if you make a bowl game, bonus.
Yeah.
Like, and not even just like a token, but like, it, like
Texas Bowl.
Bonus.
Texas Bowl, you get a check. And a pretty big one at that.
I'm fine with him getting Ferenced. Like, somebody entertaining might as well.
I mean, he wants to be there, and he's already built graven idols of hogs. I am all for my sort of pagan Arkansas overlord ruling from Fayette.
Also, I love this, get money. That's great. That's cool. He's won 12 games.
Yeah.
we're talking about him like he's just entrenched, going to be there for an eternity.
Reality has adjusted this baseline.
Yeah, we have determined that Arkansas is established. And,
I hope Sam Pittman has
stay
this.
Stay tuned, y'all.
I hope he has this chalked out, by the way, that he's like, when are you going to win 10 games? 10 years from now.
Arkansas. 10-year plan.
Arkansas, plan.
I believe, I can't remember the press release exactly, but I believe it's one of 9 FBS programs that has had the same coach and coordinators for 3 seasons.
Look at that.
It's latent,
yeah.
It's under the surface, but the crazy is there.
Yeah.
I will say this, I will just drop this one data point into that conversation because I love it when it comes up. West Virginia, you really used to trade hard upon that same data point.
Mm-hmm.
Under Dana.
Mm-hmm. Under Dana.
Oh, the door's not locked. The door should be locked. Hang on, we're gonna just add another sardine to this pile.
Clown car.
Hey, I'm gonna keep going. Spencer, you go get the door. I'm gonna keep going because we're up to another cluster. Okay, we've got another cluster here, a cluster of 2 schools, a little jump. And if you're wondering where Ole Miss is, For some reason, we're not there yet. Because the team at the exact midpoint with the closest score to A, to the middle of this chart, is Georgia.
Again, recency.
It's gotta be
recency.
Right?
Recency.
They fired a coach who won 9 or 10 or 11 games every year.
Uh huh.
Yeah.
That did not happen a long time ago. Bump Georgia up, y'all.
I mean, they weren't further up this for me. I had them at 6, but
apologize.
So as people enter this house, the listeners, I think the listeners need to realize that if a bomb dropped on this house right now, a professional football team wouldn't cease to exist, but a professional football team would have a hard time with day-to-day operations.
That's true.
They would be somewhat hampered by day-to-day operations.
Unfortunately for society, that team is the Falcons, but...
Rise up!
Sorry!
Actually, they might be advisable at this point in time.
No. We're not naming names. So the next little chunk of teams, as Jason was saying, up in the 7-point range, is a team that fired a coach for winning 9 games every year. Mm-hmm. And finally, I think a little late, Ole Miss.
I had Ole Miss a little bit higher because...
I have a 9.
I have an 8. Yeah. Because I think there is a lot of rationality there about who they are.
I mean, I wouldn't put it like that.
I think
that stuff that everybody's probably saying, oh, they're crazy. Y'all, they thought that shit through.
They have the knowledge of the compulsive gambler.
I would just say they're too drunk to really care.
Mm.
They don't really care about football. They're just drunk.
They've seen the wheels come off so many different ways that I don't think anything surprises them. Right? I think they are...
What? Ole Miss in the background.
Right, like they're the kind of people who don't ask, why was I in that car crash? They're like, well, why wasn't I in that one? That's usually the Ole Miss attitude. So I had them at 8 overall.
Yeah. Does anybody else have anything interesting to say about these two? Because I want to get into the top 5 where pretty strong consent here for this next plateau. Number 5 and number 4, 1/100th of a point separates these two teams, Florida and LSU.
Of course it does.
Yeah.
Go ahead, guys.
Success, poison, irrational.
Yeah, Spoiled believes the sport began in 1990, charitably 1985.
It did.
New money, which is always hard to bargain with.
Yeah.
Obsessed.
Sorry that we have standards.
Obsessed with one way of playing the sport.
Correct.
Which one is higher, at Florida or LSU?
LSU is more irrational by 1/100th of 1 point.
The gap should be much larger, in my opinion.
I agree.
But
I quite agree.
As long as LSU is ahead.
I think LSU at 5 and Florida down at 7.
This is my only concern with the scientific quality of the study data is I think Ryan's more likely to be followed by Florida fans.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure he has
significant representation among
people.
I'm sure he's followed by fans of every team, but there's probably, you know, more Florida fans than...
I would go ahead and say, what about Ryan's attitude towards Florida or not would indicate any kind of, like, enjoyment?
This is actually the longest we ever talked about Florida on the show without Jason or I protesting.
Yeah. In a while, yeah.
You're talking about Florida being irrational and terrible.
No, that makes sense. Yeah.
Well, I think, in my opinion, I think Florida fans are overrating their own irrationality, is what I think.
I think that's fair because I think Florida fans, like, and this, I think it wanes, you know, as the years go by.
No, this is Florida, it wanes.
Yeah.
But Florida carrying itself, always carrying itself like the old Southern school when they are still in fucking Florida.
We are the boys!
Yeah, well, always.
I think we agree on that, right? It's like our Nouveau Riche people have no loyalty.
Right, and like the new people, like the guy who runs the collective, the car dealership guy who runs the collective, for instance.
Yeah.
The fact that obviously South Florida has had a really big influx, just like a student population wise.
Yeah, yeah.
Southern Floridian kids are coming to school at Florida in more and more and more. No, man, it's just so fucking stupid.
Yeah. There we go. Now we're back in the pit.
Listen, we have nothing to unite us as a fan base culturally. All we have is violence. So if we're not being delivered that kind of violence
and sunstroke
in buckets,
alcohol poisoning.
But look at the, if we're comparing LSU and Florida, LSU firing national championship head coaches, Florida needing how many games to get rid of Muschamp and to get rid of Mullen, and it's not the same level. I'm sorry.
LSU, Godfrey has a great, Godfrey has a great point about LSU. LSU fans are going to expect Brian Kelly to win a national championship, and they're justified in that expectation.
They are, but at the same time, too, there is a difference. Florida does have some sort of bedrock dysfunction bleeding up from the government and from the people who are involved with the university. It does not compare to what you may experience at LSU contextually. It just doesn't.
Oh, the element here I can't wait to see comes, the call comes directly from inside the house itself, because when... What percentage, just off the top of your head, do you think, of the roster at LSU has mamas that are driving to the game on Saturday? Compared to Notre Dame?
Yeah.
How do you think, say, the coach's college show is going to go in Baton Rouge in a state where... not even looking at it, but a good majority of the players come from in-state, because if you're in Louisiana and you want to play D1 football and you're good enough, you're going to go to LSU. They get them all. How is Brian Kelly throwing his players under the bus when he doesn't win that natty? Going to play differently in Baton Rouge than it played in South Bend?
Oh, look, he fucking told me yesterday that he was surprised by how shit the schools are.
What schools? Like
Louisiana Public.
Is he talking about the Catholic schools?
He parsed them. By the way, he parsed them. Yeah, and by the way, I'm not telling tales. Uh-huh. This quote is in Sports Illustrated. He told me yesterday, he was like, I was a little surprised by the public school system and how underfunded it is. But there are plenty of great Catholic schools with great football programs in the state. So he did say the thing. In the way that Brian Kelly always says the thing.
Why are you surprised, Brian? There. It's not Brian Kelly.
Yeah.
That's a great way to put it.
It's Brian.
It's Brian.
It's a family name.
It's going to be Brian Kelly once they put him in that column. All right, hey, moving on. There's a jump. Okay, top three. As I said, I had Arkansas in this top three, but I accept for previously... I think we all probably have the same top four.
I know what my number one is. I don't know about the rest of it. I know what my number one is.
There is I'm going to tell you, surprising absolutely everyone, this team is kind of on an island by itself. There is a gap between this team and the very best, and there is also a gap between this team and beating mediocre. And that team at number three, your Auburn Tigers.
There is not any program in the country where there's just fucking always something.
Yeah.
It's always fucking something with you people.
Yeah.
It is literally the most incredible thing.
Might be the most readily you people-able team.
They're going to try to fire him again after they get the shit kicked out of them by Penn State at home in week three.
That's only because he's going to accidentally kill the mascot.
And we will again sit here and say, there is always something. Yesterday, friend of the program, Buddy Elliott, showed me a picture of Cat like sitting next to the yellow fella at a basketball game. There is always something. You hire Bruce fucking Pearl to run the basketball program.
Is that bad?
There is always something.
I think Auburn's number one.
Yeah.
So let me go ahead and tell you, by the way, that you will not get anything but the most Auburn season out of Auburn every year, and 2022 is going to be an example of the first two games, cupcakes against Mercer and San Jose State. They will likely win both of those. Then Penn State goes to Auburn. Let's say they lose that one. Oh, man. We need a vote of confidence. Next
week. Guess what happens?
Yeah.
Next week.
Drink Missouri.
Drinkwitz.
Right? So Drinkwitz. But still, I don't know if they just decide to, like, reduce that to a simple game. Auburn's got bigger dudes. They're better at the run. They'll probably beat Missouri, who can't stop a stiff breeze. All right, he's cool. He's cool, right? Then LSU under new look Brian Kelly, who I'm just guessing in the first four or five games, Brian Kelly's going to screw something up. He'll just have that loss where, like, they can't find their keys, right? Like, where are our keys?
Where is that?
He primed the pump on that yesterday.
Where is it?
Oh, did he? How so?
To an extent, he was like, man, we're, you know.
Hey, y'all, look at the first half of LSU's schedule. I see where that loss is. Do you?
4-8.
You don't know. You don't know anything about that game. Nobody listening to this podcast has any idea what's going to happen.
One and four, no, when Florida State plays. No, I was not saying Florida State, to be clear.
You're saying Mississippi State comes in and just blows the doors off that secondary.
Breeder, I am.
Yeah,
I am.
I can totally see.
September 17th, 6 p.m. local kick.
Yeah, it's funny because they have an NFL defensive coordinator now.
Oh God.
You see the vision.
He's like, and I. A lot of people I talk to think the world of Matt House, but like watching him try to reckon with the pure uncut air raid.
Right, right.
This thing that doesn't make sense.
It's week three. Nobody knows what they're doing still.
They're not going to run the same six plays. They're going to run the same six plays the whole game, dude. And they'll probably throw for 500 on you. No. That's going to happen. So, again, Missouri recovers. LSU, Auburn, they managed to lose to LSU. Oh, he's on the hot seat again. Let's say they go to Georgia, then he's super on the hot seat. Then they get Ole Miss, and I know what happens when Auburn plays Ole Miss, and Ole Miss is like has expectations if they're doing well. They lose. He's just going to be back and forth the whole season down the stretch.
Every season.
The only reason I had Auburn at 3 and not higher is because I feel like they have a higher percentage of things that happen to them. And the teams in the top two, I feel, are largely enthusiastically self-inflicting these things.
I think with Auburn, they have fallen into Bama's reality warping vortex discussed a few moments ago, where like Auburn fans know they are crazy. And I don't think the thing about them is that doesn't affect their level of craziness. Mm-hmm. They know it is insane to care about this thing that is not Alabama, has never been Alabama, and will never be Alabama, and they continue doing it.
The problem is always the tangibility of beating Alabama. Because they always are able to just find a way to beat Alabama and have been the last, you know, whatever, when Gus was there. That's the problem. The tangibility of being able say, well, shit, we do beat him every now and then.
They beat him more than anyone else.
Yeah. And that's wonderful. And
they fired the guy. They fired the only guy who can consistently beat Nick Saban on the planet.
You fired the closest thing to Nick Saban's nemesis. You got rid of him.
Because they keep dropping games.
Do you hear how crazy that sounds?
I would also.
Yeah, but he was weird about church. Auburn.
Every Auburn fan, by the way, is Idi Amin in the King of Scotland when he looks at the guy.
When
he looks at the guy who's supposed to be his minder. After he's done something completely crazy and with a completely rational look on his face goes, why did you let me do that? That's Auburn, right? Like, why'd you let me fight?
There's a dog who caught the car.
Right? Yeah, why'd you let me sue the head coach in February and then walk it back?
Yeah.
They're White Goodman. Why'd you make me bleed my own blood?
Yeah. I think there are so many schools in the SEC where the fan base is, yes, they're irrational. Auburn is the one that is totally aware of its own irrationality, totally accepting it. To me, that is the transcendent level.
Do we have a school that isn't aware of it, though? Do we have two of those?
Good afternoon. If you multiply 0.49 times 0.49, you get 98. Mm-hmm. And coming in at 11.49 for second place, this is what we call numerology. We had the Tennessee Volunteers. I had them at 2, but only because I had Arkansas at 1.
I think Tennessee, to me, is in a class. They have 90s disease, as you mentioned, along with Miami, Nebraska, and Michigan. If you won a national title in the 90s, you are now insane.
Florida State is flirting with 90s disease. That's just the weird thing to me. Winning another natty after that didn't fix Florida State. They still have it. I'm like, is this incurable?
See, at least call
them I think with them, it might be the equivalent of Bama beating or of Auburn beating Bama, where like, yeah. Are they going to break out of this, or was that a false?
Tennessee was so unassailably up here that I don't even feel like we have to explain this very much. Yeah, we know.
I wonder
now, what are you in jail for? Arson? It's like the Alice's Restaurant song, but instead of littering, he says arson.
Don't tell the judge to go fuck himself. Okay, I'm not going to tell the judge to go fuck himself.
Hey, judge!
Oh, no.
No, I told the judge's wife to go fuck himself.
I wonder if Tennessee's number 2 because they do care about other sports, whereas number 1 this is all they got.
That's got to be it, even though, yeah. Again, we have the second instance in this poll where A&M only edged out Tennessee by a hundredth of a point.
I will say, just before we move on to the absolute cult insanity that is Texas A&M, shouts out to Tennessee sports.
What?
To Tennessee sports for being balanced.
I have
balanced,
had a fantastic
for being
off-season.
Balanced. They will find. They're like, hey man, have you seen our paintball team? Like, no, they'll talk about. They love them.
Do you mean the national champion paintball team that was the thing that lured Peter Jackson's son to leave New Zealand and come to Tennessee for college?
What a sentence.
Yeah. No, real sentence. That's no, for real. Say. Yeah. No, they're, I will say that Tennessee people, they are about the sports. Like, and I will say Florida too. Florida,
sir,
like
to our credit. Hey, let's give you some more numerology. 11:50, as in 10 minutes to midnight, as in, oh, number 3 in the SEC West, number 1 in our hearts, and on this poll. The Texas A&M fighting agros.
There's a place.
Excuse me, the fighting agriculture.
There's like a legitimate.
What is agriculture short for? Is it agriculture?
Yeah. Agriculture. Agriculture.
Yeah. Agriculture people.
Yeah. Kind
of. There's a place component to A&M's irrationality where, like.
Yeah, the moon is very irrational.
When you're where they are, you can just talk yourself into fucking anything.
If yeah. you've never been there,
you can also
really
take that sentence
explain.
Literally. there's only one living creature for miles and miles.
Hey man, they're judging that meat for a reason.
I think A&M is the only argument against Auburn being number one.
Yes, mm-hmm. I think that's fair.
And that's including when OU and Texas show up. Y'all are
no, I think
in the middle of this.
When OU and Texas
that's
show
true.
Up.
That's true. That's true. Once they show up, A&M is now number one because they have two Bamas.
This is the only team I know where all of the following things have happened and I'm making nothing up. There is footage of one of their associates, one of their cadets, pulling a sword on somebody over a football game on the field.
A&M is so irrational, they thought they could get away from Texas. They thought they could divorce themselves from Texas and get into a better neighborhood, mm-hmm. and that Texas wouldn't come follow and fuck them.
Yeah, they thought they could escape Texas by getting richer. That's all Texas cares about.
If anything, you should have just sold everything.
Yeah, you should have gotten poor.
What's good, homie? Yeah, this is a great party. It'd be a shame if someone richer came in. Yeah, they did that. Texas A&M also hired Dennis Franchione. Yeah. There. That's another piece of absolute insanity on their part.
I mean, Jimbo Fisher's contract.
The entire Jimbo. And which was extended after what? One season?
Yeah.
One season.
It didn't even need to be extended. It's already infinite.
There's no threat. Nobody. Like, the Cowboys are not coming after Jimbo Fisher. Why not? They're not clamoring.
That'd be a pretty good idea for Jerry Jones' part. Bid up.
Oh, no, that's true.
Bid up Jimbo's contract.
Yeah. Well, A&M would have to be real competition first for Jerry to really sort of do that.
Oh, yeah. Sorry.
Hey, why don't we end this episode the way we began it? By generating the song of the season, AI country song lyrics. I just typed in Dog Church.
Okay, so A&M's new fight song.
All right.
A&M's new fight song as done by an AI.
That's right. Just leave me in this old-time church, yeah. Just leave me in the old-time church. Oh, leave me in the old-time church. I know a dog named Tone. All good things have just begun. I met the father of my first love. Chorus. My old dog, my old dog, my old dog. Watch my old dog.
That's right, sing it, buddy.
Verse 2. The time has come today for loving God. We God are calling. God is calling. Let the church arise. Let God Almighty rise. An old dog in a new town. A lonely bell for a telephone call.
Wow.
Bridge. My mama, my favorite dog. My mama, my favorite dog. Chorus. My old dog. Watch my old dog.
Can't you just hear that as performed by like in the sort of the same vocal tone as Saw Varsity's Horns Off?
Oh, blue.
Just that.
They also established the Revelé Trinity there, though, which is my mother, Texas A&M, and the dog.
No, those are all the same thing.
Yeah, this is my mama, comma my favorite. Oh, there's no punctuation in this. My mama, my favorite dog.
Yeah, the Revelé is, in a sense, all of our mother.
They're in such a remote part of the world. They invented their own military. They invented their own language. And they invented their own god.